Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for words and their stories and people in America, coming up after As It Is.
From VOA Learning English, welcome to As It Is. I'm Steve Ember in Washington. Officials in Japan have been studying ways to set rules for the digital currency known as Bitcoin. The investigation came after a leading Tokyo-based trading house closed suddenly. Today on the program, we tell how Bitcoin is growing in popularity, but also creating concerns. But first, we turn to international efforts to help poor people in Africa. Three United Nations agencies want the poor to become less dependent on aid. But critics are wondering if the UN efforts are having any success. Mario Ritter has more.
The agencies want financial services such as credit, savings, and insurance to be made available to everyone. That includes poor people in Africa's rural areas who may live on only $2 a day. The agencies believe that if these services reach the rural poor, their lives could improve greatly. Ertharin Cousin works for the World Food Program, one of the UN agencies involved in the effort. She says the World Food Program's goal is to create opportunity in agricultural production that continues after aid efforts end. The other agencies are the Food and Agriculture Organization and the International Fund for Agricultural Development. Representatives of the agencies were recently in Ethiopia, a densely populated country of more than 84 million people. But more than 80% of the population lives in rural areas. The FAO gave seeds and fertilizer to farmers. Local groups then buy what the farmers have grown with money that comes indirectly from the International Fund for Agricultural Development. And the World Food Program gives schools support so they can buy locally grown food to serve their students. Organizers hope the programs will help people live without aid. They say farmers and local groups called cooperatives want the program to succeed, so they are working together. Another part of the program teaches people how to manage their money. The agencies teach those living on a few dollars a day to use part of that money not for daily costs, but to save or invest. Queen Maxima is the UN's special advocate for financial inclusion. She says knowing how to manage and save money is important if people want to support themselves.
Eventually, it should come from savings. Eventually, you should unleash domestic savings because of the domestic resources that should be put back into productive loans so that, you know, people can actually make the investment, grow the production, increase employment, etc., etc.
Ethiopia does not have a strong financial services industry. Only 8% of the population saves money in a bank. While mobile banking has helped the rural poor in other African countries, Ethiopia has only recently permitted mobile banking. I'm Mario Ritter.
And I'm Steve Ember. You're listening to As It Is from VOA Learning English.
Mm-hmm.
An ever-growing number of people are using Bitcoin to buy goods, pay for services, or send money anywhere in the world. They do not have to use traditional banks, credit cards, or other financial services when they use the electronic currency. Our economics reporter, Mario Ritter, has more.
Bitcoin is electronically protected or encrypted. It is bought, sold, and transferred like other currencies through trading companies. Transfers happen without governments being involved or regulating the currency. Jerry Brito is a technology policy analyst at George Mason University. He says Bitcoin is the world's first true digital currency that is not controlled by anyone.
Bitcoin is basically solved a computer science problem that for the first time allows just two people to transact online. So it's decentralized. There is no Bitcoin company. There is no government. It's kind of like email.
However, the very things that people like about Bitcoin are also what criminals like about it. They want to move money from place to place secretly, without governments knowing about it. Law enforcement agencies in the United States recently closed an online market that used Bitcoin. Marco Santori is the chairman of the Bitcoin Foundation's Regulatory Affairs Committee. He notes that all Bitcoin transactions can be seen by all other computers, and he says the belief that no one regulates the currency is not true.
Bitcoin is, in fact, heavily regulated. It is very heavily regulated. Those who exchange bitcoins for other digital currencies or who exchange bitcoins for dollars are money transmitters under the Bank Secrecy Act.
The amount of bitcoin in the system must always be counted and tracked. Users' computers that watch and approve bitcoin sales and purchases are given new bitcoins. Mr. Brito says this is how more money is added to the system.
Every 10 minutes, there are about 25.5 bitcoins introduced into the economy. And it is given to one of the miners, kind of at random, as it were, who are contributing to computing capacity.
The United States, Germany, and many other governments accept the use of bitcoins, but some officials have called for stronger regulations on the electronic currency. China recently banned its banks, but not businesses, from trading in Bitcoin. Since its beginning in 2009, the value of a Bitcoin has increased from just a few pennies to hundreds of American dollars.
And that's our program for today. Be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for another As It Is from VOA Learning English. I'm Steve Ember. Thanks for listening.
Words and Their Stories is next, followed by People in America. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English. Thank you.
The VOA Special English Program, Words and Their Stories. Bologna is a kind of sausage that many Americans eat often. The word also has another meaning in English. It is used to describe something, usually something someone says, that is false or wrong or foolish. Bologna sausage comes from the name of the Italian city Bologna. The city is famous for its sausage, a mixture of smoked, spiced meat from cows and pigs. But bologna sausage does not taste the same as beef or pork alone. Some language experts think this different taste is responsible for the birth of the expression bologna. Bologna is an idea or statement that is nothing like the truth, in the same way that bologna sausage tastes nothing like the meat that is used to make it. Bologna is a word often used by politicians to describe the ideas of their opponents. The expression has been used for years. A former governor of New York State, Alfred Smith, criticized some claims by President Franklin Roosevelt about the successes of the Roosevelt administration. Smith said, "No matter how thin you slice it, it is still bologna." A similar word has almost the same meaning as bologna. It even sounds almost the same. The word is blarney. It began in Ireland about 1600. The lord of Blarney Castle, near Cork, agreed to surrender the castle to British troops. But he kept making excuses for postponing the surrender. And he made them sound like very good excuses. This is just more of the same blarney. The Irish castle now is famous for its blarney stone. Kissing the stone is thought to give a person special powers of speech. One who has kissed the blarney stone, so the story goes, can speak words of praise so smoothly and sweetly that you believe them even when you know they are false. A former Roman Catholic bishop of New York City, Fulton Sheen, once explained, "Bologna is praise so thick it cannot be true, and blarney is praise so thin we like it." Another expression is pulling the wool over someone's eyes. It means to make someone believe something that is not true. The expression goes back to the days when men wore false hair or wigs, similar to those worn by judges today in British courts. The word wool was a popular joking word for hair. If you pulled a man's wig over his eyes, he could not see what was happening. Today, when you pull the wool over someone's eyes, he cannot see the truth. This VOA Special English Program, Words and Their Stories, was written by Marilyn Cristiano. I'm Warren Shear.
I'm Faith Lapidus.
And I'm Jim Tedder with People in America in VOA Special English. Today, we tell about the award-winning writer Pearl S. Buck.
The year was 1931. Americans were suffering through the Great Depression. The famous criminal Al Capone was sent to prison for not paying his taxes. The Star-Spangled Banner officially became America's national song. The Empire State Building in New York City was completed. And the top-selling book in the United States was The Good Earth by Pearl S. Buck.
Pearl Buck won the Pulitzer Prize for the best novel by an American writer. She was the first American woman to be awarded the Nobel Prize in Literature. She wrote more than 100 books. She also wrote short stories, poetry, plays, essays, and children's literature. But most people remember Pearl Buck for her novels about China. She knew the country and its people very well. For nearly 40 years, China was her home.
Pearl's parents were Caroline and Absalom Seidenstricker. They were religious workers in China. In 1892, they were visiting in the United States when Pearl was born in Hillsboro, West Virginia. 3 months after her birth, the family left the United States and moved back to China. Pearl and her family lived among the Chinese people. Pearl played with Chinese children and visited their homes. She listened to their ideas and learned about their culture. From an early age, she spoke both Chinese and English.
Pearl's education began at home. Her mother taught her many of the things she would have learned in an American school. A Chinese tutor taught Pearl other subjects. They included the writings of the famous thinker Confucius and Chinese reading, writing, and history. When she was 7, she began reading the works of British writer Charles Dickens. Many years later, after she had become a famous author, she said that Dickens' writing style had the greatest influence on her own style.
In 1910, Pearl went back to the United States to study philosophy at Randolph-Macon Women's College in Lynchburg, Virginia. After graduation, she returned to China. 3 years later, she met John Lossing Buck. He was a religious worker who studied agriculture. They were married and moved to a small village in the north of China. Their life among the poorest people provided the subject matter for many of the books she later wrote.
In 1920, Pearl and John Buck's first child was born. Her name was Carol. Doctors found that Carol had an unusual disease called PKU. This caused her to have trouble learning. Carol was sent to live at a special school in New Jersey. Pearl Buck was deeply saddened by having to send her only child to live far away from home. She also learned that she would never be able to give birth again. But if it had not been for Carol's health problems, her mother might never have become a famous writer.
The reason was money. Pearl Buck needed a lot of it over the years to pay for her daughter's care. So she tried writing books about the subject she knew best. Her first novel was called East Wind, West Wind. It tells the story of a Chinese girl who learns about the Western world. But it was Pearl Buck's next book that made her famous and brought the money she needed.
Now, when I began to write, not having anything else to write about, I only knew China. And my first very successful book was A Good Earth. I used to say to these young people, why don't you write about your peasants, the wonderful people? And they would say, oh, nobody would be interested. And so I said, well, I'm going to write that book then. If none of you will do it, I will write it. So I wrote The Good Earth.
The Good Earth became the top-selling book in the United States in 1931 and 1932. Pearl Buck won the Pulitzer Prize. She also received the William Dean Howells Medal from the American Academy of Arts and Letters. In 1937, The Good Earth became an Oscar-winning motion picture. The next year, Pearl S. Buck was awarded the Nobel Prize in Literature.
The Good Earth is the story of a poor Chinese man named Wang Lung. His wife is O Lan. They work together very hard and finally make enough money to buy some land for a farm. After a time, they grow enough crops to feed their family well, with some left over to sell. Their lives improve greatly, and they are happy. But the good times do not last.
For a long time, it does not rain. The land dries up, and no crops will grow. Many people starve to death. Wang sells all he owns, except the land. Once again, his family is poor and hungry. They beg on the streets to survive. Wang fears that they will die. But just when it seems that the end is near, good luck arrives.
Poor people attack some rich people, hoping to get food and money. A crowd forces Wang into a rich man's home. The rich man fears Wang and gives him gold coins. With this newfound wealth, Wang and his family survive. Every chance he gets, he buys more land. After a while, he is richer than he ever thought he would be. For the rest of his life, Wang finds happiness in owning land and raising crops. He tells his sons that after he dies, they must never sell their land.
Now, you couldn't imagine anything less interesting to Americans, you would say, than a book like The Good Earth. It came in the midst of Depression times, and it was a comfort to the American people to know that there were people worse off than they were.
In 1932, Pearl Buck wrote a book called Sons. It tells about Wang Lung's family after his death. 3 years later, she wrote A House Divided. This book is mostly about Wang Lung's grandson, Wang Yuan, who lives during a time of revolution in China. This book tells how China's people began to change from their old ways to a more modern way of thinking. Pearl Buck wrote her first books about China at a time when most people in the world knew almost nothing about the Chinese way of life. She told her stories with honesty. Her readers soon learned that the Chinese were far different from the way they had been shown in Hollywood movies.
After almost 40 years in China, the writer moved back to the United States. She bought Green Hills Farm in eastern Pennsylvania. She began to write articles for newspapers and magazines. She expressed her opinion on war, politics, religion, equal rights for all people, and many other subjects.
The sad things about war is that it's not so much you lose the money, because you can always make money somehow, but you lose people that you can't replace. The people who should lead our country are the best, who die early. The bravest, the most brilliant, the ones with the best leadership, and they are the ones who die out of proportion to their numbers.
Pearl Buck's ideas often brought her criticism, but she continued to speak and write about her support for the civil rights of Black people in the United States. She also believed in birth control and equal rights for women. She said that there would be world peace only when all races had respect for each other.
We are one world, and if we don't know it, it's dangerous, but I think we are beginning to know it more and more. And that does not mean that we give up our nationhood or our differences.
Pearl Buck gave many speeches in America. She talked to young people about the importance of a good education. She told them they needed to know more about other people around the world.
I beg of you to pay a special attention to your history. Not just the history of the United States, but the history of the countries with which we are involved.
In 1949, Pearl Buck helped start the Welcome House Adoption Agency. She had become very concerned about the children of mixed races around the world. She urged families to adopt these children without concern for the color of their skin or their cultural background. Pearl and her second husband, Richard Walsh, raised 7 adopted children. 2 of these were of mixed race. They also cared for many other children while they lived at Green Hills Farm.
Pearl Buck died in 1973. She was 80 years old. She was buried near her house in Pennsylvania. Her memory lives on in the work done by Pearl S. Buck International. This organization provides adoption services and help to adopted people and their families. It also supports cultures around the world and works to end prejudice.
This program was written by Jim Tedder and produced by Dana Demange. I'm Faith Lapidus.
And I'm Jim Tedder. You can learn about other famous Americans at voaspecialenglish.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English. Join us again next week for People in America in VOA Special English.